How blessed we are to be in this assembly doing the things that we are doing for the reasons we're doing them, and we're grateful to have visitors with us. But I am just going to take a second and mention the Savannah Krim family. So a lot of you know who Savannah is. She was with us Wednesday night, her mom and her dad. Now we're blessed to have her brother and sister visiting with us. And Savannah had been, from studying of the Bible and conversations with other people, including her parents, came to the conclusion Wednesday night she wanted to be baptized into Christ. And so we were witnesses of that, and it filled us with great joy. And we're grateful for God for his salvation in Christ. And we're grateful for Savannah's open, tender heart in responding to that call of salvation. And so if you haven't met Savannah, and you can meet her family too, but if you haven't met Savannah, please do that. It's great to have them with us again. So this morning, I want to talk about neuroplasticity. So I know you have three questions. First of all, what is that? Second of all, what, if anything, does the Bible say about that? And third of all, what does that have to do with being a follower of Christ? Well, the answer to the second question, the Bible has a lot to say about it. And second of all, to the third question, it has everything to do with following Christ. So, now to the definition, neuroplasticity. Let me first of all say that this is not my lane. And I'm going to admit that this is not an area of expertise with me at all. So I want to cite three of my main references to add credibility to this. Although, once you hear about this idea, it may ring a bell. You've probably heard about it. But there is just a plethora of material, good material out there that you can look to understand this. First, I cite National Institutes of Health's website, which has a pretty detailed technical explanation of it, but yet still fairly readable. Cleveland Clinic has a more layman's kind of article about it, clevelandclinic.org. And so good information there. And also a BBC documentary, including the observations of two teaching professors who are experts in this field, a Dr. Boyd from the University of British Columbia and a Dr. Lambert from the University of Richmond. What is this? Neuro, having to do with the brain and the nervous system and the function of the brain and nervous system. And then the idea of plasticity. Now, when we think of plastic, we think of something like the housing for this remote control here, something that's fairly rigid, but at one time it was not. You know how plastic is made. They form a mold and they pour substances into it. And so our use of the term plasticity here has to do with something that is moldable, something that can receive a form. Thus, neuroplasticity, the brain being moldable. It's the idea that the brain has the ability to change in its function, that the brain can alter how it works, that even different thinking and behaving patterns are produced by actual physical changes in the brain. When we think about changing our mind, we think it's purely a thought thing. Sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes it is also a physiological change, that your physical brain is changing. There are pathways in our brains between neurons. It's actually like electricity firing between wires and conductors. And when it comes to these neurons and how they fire between one another, new connections can be formed within our brain. It's much like what's happening down at the intersection of I-240 and I-26. Oh, is that going to be fun for the next 3 years? There was already a connection between I-26 and 240 and the other roads that feed those. But now And it's a good idea because it was such a confusing intersection. They are reconstructing those roads and creating different connections of those roads. Such a thing happens in your brain. Only a few decades ago, neuroscientists believe, that the brain was mostly fixed after puberty. And then there was the innovation of MRIs. And not only were they observing certain conditions of the brain with MRIs to try to diagnose diseases and injuries and things like that, but scientists began to see that, oh, this person's brain from a year ago has changed. There are new patterns in how it's connecting to, the parts are connecting to one another. And so they saw through MRI imaging that the brain keeps changing physiologically, which means that it also changes psychologically. That the physical structure changes, which means that the thoughts that are running through your head also change. It's fascinating. It really is. That new paths can be formed, which means new ways of thinking can be formed. Now, there's two types. One is what is called, and I'm just going to talk about this, and I'm going to try to throw too much data at you. One is called functional, because if I do, I'll get lost. One is called functional plasticity. This is when a part of the brain is injured from an accident or maybe from a stroke. And then the brain adjusts. And though there might be one part of the brain that's been damaged, the brain will find other pathways and create new pathways so that that function can return. It's like a person who has a stroke, and let's say that they have a paralysis in their left arm. But after a while, it is possible, not always, but it is possible with enough time and then movement and therapy to regain the use of that arm to some extent. But in many cases, it's not the same part of the brain that's working that arm. There is a new pathway that has been created that's now creating a functional left arm. Wow. And then there is structural plasticity. This is where new behaviors and new thought processes actually change your brain physically. And the best illustration to this, it's really an analogy, is like rewiring something. I mean, something like Rick Harrington does, or used to. Now he just tells people to do it. But just like you can rewire a control box or rewire a car or a machine, we're told by neuroscientists that you can rewire your brain. And more than that, they're saying it's happening all the time. That in our experiences in life, in our choices, in our interaction with other people and other things, our brain is being rewired. And that there are things that you can do to actually prompt this and accelerate it. And neuroscientists use terms like exercise the brain. Just like exercising muscles, change muscles, there are things you can do with your brain that changes the pathways of the neurons and thus changes physically your brain. Learn a new language, learn a musical instrument, travel, do puzzles, read. Scientists say that almost any new experience exercises the brain and has the potential of rewiring that brain. We form pathways physically in our brains by what we're doing and what we're thinking. And then after a while, doing that thing over and over, or thinking that thing over and over, it creates a certain function in our brain to where it becomes second nature. You remember when you learned how to type? You really had to focus. And now you can just sit down and you're not even thinking about it. And this is so with baking a cake. Some of you who bake, there's probably a certain recipe that you've baked 250 times. And once you get the ingredients, you go in the kitchen, your brain may be completely somewhere else, but second nature just kicks in and your brain knows what you're doing. The ingredients at this time and mixing it at this time, putting it in the oven at this time, mowing the grass. You don't really have to focus that much because you've done it hundreds, if not thousands of times. You just go out and do it. It's what we call muscle memory. Things like needlepoint or playing an instrument. And as a result, what this is telling us is the brain can develop patterns that become second nature, which means also the brain can form ruts. What's a rut? It's back in the days when they had wagons, and they ran the wagons along the same roads, and the wheels cut ruts, and there are these little ditches that were cut in. Our brain can form ruts, and ruts are limiting. They're confining. And thus the expression, getting out of your comfort zone, is a very healthy thing. So, some summary points. First of all, the brain can rewire itself every day. Not in drastic measures. Hey, I just started playing the piano at 9, and now I'm playing Chopin at 3 p.m. It doesn't work that way. It's a gradual thing, but a definite thing. The brain can rewrite and rewire itself every day. The changeable nature of our brain means it has the capacity to break from existing negative patterns and form new positive patterns. Now, young people, young learners are more neuroplastic, as neuroscientists call it. You know, a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 20-year-old, there's more wet cement there. There's more flexibility in the brain. They're more of a clean slate. They're wiring in their brain and writing their code as they develop. However, this has been proven with that MRI mapping. In latter years, though the brain is not as plastic as it was, the human brain is still remarkably plastic. Wow. You can, to some extent, rewire your brain physically so that it functions differently, possibly better, and consequently change your life. It took humans thousands of years to discover this through MRI technology, but the Bible's talked about it the whole time. We're going to look at four passages, and it's fitting that these are all found in the letters of the New Testament that are sent to individual and groups of Christians to teach them and lead them in living for Christ, which meant a changed life. In Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17, referencing their transformation, Paul writes, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." Oh, that's a change of life. What's at the root of this? "No longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." Minds. "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. Do you know how hard a rut is? Really hard. It's like stone. It's so hard. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Do you see what's depicted there? That a life of sin, alienated from God, with repeated rebellion against God, hardens a person, forms a person, locks a person in. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Learned. That has to do with thinking and comprehending. Assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see this transformation language? What a person was and what they can become. And what's at the core of this? To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Changed behavior, a changed life, originates with changed thinking. And what does the MRI mapping tell us? You start thinking differently. You know what happens? Your brain changes. Your actual physical brain changes. Wow. Romans chapter 12. Another section where the Apostle Paul is transitioning from the great truth of salvation in Jesus to how we live as saved people. And Paul writes in Romans 12, starting in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Note that the body is talked about, which means the thing that we use to carry out action. Hands and feet and eyes and mouth. And that we're to use it as spiritual worship. That's action. That's a verb. He says in the next verse, don't be conformed to this world. So is this just all about conforming action and what you do with your body? No, it's deeper. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. The picture is someone comprehending the will of God, thinking through that, and then changing their thinking to align with the will of God, which then will affect how they use their bodies and what actions they take. And no wonder, because with this renewed thinking, their brains are changing. We know that now. Our very service to God, a worshipful disposition of service to God, starts with mind transformation. Couple of more. Earlier in the book, in Romans chapter 8, right after he is, it's just like a crescendo section of the book where he's declared that we no longer have to be condemned in Christ. We can be forgiven and saved. But then he talks about the follow-up to that. And he writes in Romans 8, verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Why is it that you do fleshly things? Because it's how your mind is set. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Set the mind. Refocus it. Build it upon this. Be driven by this. The Spirit. And then in Colossians chapter 3, again, at the section where Paul transitions in his letter to the Colossians from describing their salvation in Christ to how they should live in Christ, says this, starting in verse 1 of Colossians 3, "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." Set your mind. Renew your mind and set your mind. We understand from the New Testament that Christ offers two unique, mighty things. One is forgiveness. Now that's a weight off your mind. When you know that all your wrongs, all your sins have been cleansed. Not by something you did, but it's God's gift through Christ and the shedding of His blood. It's a clean slate. What do you get to do with a clean slate? Start anew. Write new things on it, including our minds. The other thing that Christ offers is teaching. If you think about it, the two immediate things that Christ offers, and it's seen in Acts 2 when the gospel is first preached and the people respond on the day of Pentecost. They hear His word and are baptized. Why? Because that put them into Christ and brought the cleansing. And then immediately, in verse 42, the first thing it says about the first Christians, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They started learning Christ's ways. Christ guides us in how to live. He teaches us how to think. And as we follow His teaching, we rewire our brain. And we develop a different mind. And it goes even way even beyond that. That leads to our physical brain actually changing. So that new things become second nature. The things of Christ. Believe the science on this point. But beyond that, believe the Holy Scriptures. You see, there are lies we tell ourselves. One lie is, I can't change. It's a lie. It's not true. God made you with the ability to change. Change how you live because you change how you think, and then develop a whole new way of living and thinking that then actually rewrites and rewires and reprograms your brain. That's how God made you. Someone may say, well, I am who I am. Nothing can change that. Well, that's false. You can become someone different. You can become what you want to be. Now, listen, I'm not talking about physical realities. No offense intended, but knowing what I know about you, I don't see anybody here likely ever to be a U.S. president or a champion prize fighter or a gold medalist pole vaulter. I'm not seeing it in you people. However, in your character, in your heart, in your mind, and in your behavior, you can be what Christ wants you to be. Someone may say, well, it's too hard for me to change. It's too hard for me to do this or that. Well, hard it may be, but not too hard. Not impossible. You see, we get in ruts in our minds. And oftentimes, they're sinful ruts. And they incapacitate us regarding spiritual transformation and spiritual service. Think about how that these thought-based sins that are talked oftentimes in the letters of the New Testament following sections like Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and Colossians 3. You can find these kinds of things elaborated on in those texts. Worry. That every day you see things to worry about. And every day you do that over and over and over. You know what you're doing? You're wiring your brain so that it becomes second nature to worry. Envy. Every time you see a new car, you bristle. I wish I had a new car. Every time you just have a resentful thought, when you see someone with a nice car or a new set of clothes or moving into a nice house. There are other ways to think about that. Maybe that person's worked really hard. Maybe they labored for 10 years taking care of their grandmother when no one else would and wore themselves out doing all the nasty, hard, difficult, heart-wrenching thing that's necessary when someone is aging and dying. And then the grandmother said, "When I die, I want you to take this money and buy you a new car." How dare you be resentful of that car? It's the wrong way to think. Greed, lust. Lust is not a trap, it's a choice. But it's a choice that ends up being a trap. It's a rut. There are different ways to think when you see a good-looking woman or a good-looking man. Arrogance. And here's one, thinking you're worthless. When God has said over and over and over so many things that communicates how valuable you are to Him. How often do you say to yourself that you can't do something or you can't change, and it keeps you from doing the exact things that God commands you to do? God commands it. You and I can do it. It may take some change. It may take some rewiring. But we can do it. The key is to start thinking and acting differently. And when you keep thinking and acting differently over and over and over, you rewire your brain through Christ. This is probably a first. I've never quoted Bruce Lee before. So you just revealed your age. Bruce Lee said, "I'm not afraid of the man who has 1,000 kicks. I'm afraid of the man who has one kick and has practiced it 1,000 times." If you think differently and you act differently and you keep thinking and acting differently day after day after day, you become that different person. Renewed in your minds, you become the new man. Are there ways you're limiting yourself mentally and unnecessarily? Listen, to be human means to have limitations. We have limitations all through our lives. There's a point in our lives where we're not even tall enough to reach something off a table. Reach for something. And there's a point in our lives where we are so aged that we can't get out of a chair without help. I mean, limitations are just part of the experience. To some extent, age limits us. To some extent, physical strength limits us. To some extent, financial resources limit us. To some extent, family circumstances limit us. To some extent, but not to the fullest extent. Regardless, there are things we can change and there are new behaviors we can employ because we're designed to change. Psychologically and physiologically, because it's all connected to spiritual change. And also seeing all this, the possibilities that should leave you with hope and excitement. You're not in a mental cage. You don't have to be imprisoned by your fear, your envy, your anger, your worry, your lust, your greed. You don't have to be encaged by that. You're free to change with God's help. And so the things that we can set our minds on, and it's like, you know, when I was developing a sermon, I thought, do I do one sermon or I do 12? But you're just getting one. But when you set your mind on God's assurances, it's transformative. God assures you forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Your forgiveness is not based on what somebody thinks of you or says to you. Your forgiveness is not based upon what you think about you and what you say about you. Your forgiveness is based upon the promises of God through Christ. And if you turn to Christ and follow Him, you're assured of forgiveness. You're assured of God's care. You're assured of His provisions. And we have to tell ourselves, remind ourselves of all of God's assurances and God's promises not to forsake us. God's promise to resurrect us, to give us a completely new body fit for eternity. His promise to bring us to heaven, to the eternal home. God's promise that. That's the kind of thinking we need to run through our thought processes so that our brain changes and we become people of hope. And then there are all the instructions that we have in the Scripture. Do the things He says to do. Just do them. It has nothing to do with you feel like it, and certainly nothing to do whether you agree with it or not. Just do it. And you keep doing what He says every day, all the day, over and over and over. And your track record may not be perfect. Just like when you learn anything new, you're going to mess up. But you hang in there, and every day you just keep at it. And you change how you think, and you change how you feel about things, and you change how you look at things, and you change what you're doing, and you do exactly what Christ tells you to do, your life will change because literally your brain is changing. Your brain is changing. Rewire your brain through Jesus Christ. Wow. May God be praised for making us with these brains. How remarkable they are, which reflects such a wonderful Creator. And may our brains be wired by Him and for Him. Well, Brother Hilton is going to lead us in another hymn. That's another thing. Singing spiritual songs, they rewire your thinking. And the thing says, you know, I don't like those old songs. You know, well, guess what those old songs do? Okay? And all new songs become old ones to somebody. They're all good. New ones, old ones, medium ones, middle-aged ones, whatever. Because they rewire your thinking. As we sing to the Lord and teach and admonish one another. So we're going to sing one more hymn. There might be a soul here tonight. This morning. Who you've reached the point that we witnessed Wednesday night in a young lady. That you're convicted of the gospel of Christ and you want to be forgiven and you want to follow Jesus. It's a big step. But what an adventure that lies ahead. An adventure of transformation. And if we can assist you in that this morning, you can let it be known by coming forward as we stand and sing.